Father, we thank you for your word. It is sufficient, it is authoritative, it is inerrant, infallible, powerful. It transforms lives. It can grant new life to take us from darkness to light, from death to life. But not only change our condition eternally, but also change our present circumstances by your sanctifying grace. Father, help us to hunger and thirst for your word and righteousness. Help us to depend upon it for all of life and godliness. Help us to look to you and to your word as we navigate this world. And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Psalm 119, verses 17 to 24. Deal bountifully with your slave, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I'm a sojourner in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your slave muses on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. I've titled this sermon, The Wise Life. The Wise Life. Psalms is a book that is about God. It reveals God and praises God, and the Psalms are arranged to portray the goal of praising the Lord in the midst of enemies around us and the sin that is within us. The Psalms are for us to know how to be blessed in the midst of wickedness and difficulty, but also to see sin for what it is and to turn from it, to repent, and to praise the Lord for who he is and what he has done. The truly blessed person, the Psalms teach, will not allow his understanding or perception or conception of blessedness to be shaped or influenced by the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly. Rather, his delight, what will guide and shape and form his path, is the word of God, the law of Yahweh. So how do you respond to all of the circumstances of life? How do you respond when people are plotting against you, slandering you, mistreating you, unjustly criticizing you? What provides counsel and comfort and encouragement and hope for your soul? What helps you to navigate this life? How does this relate to God and to his word? Not only is God's word absolute objective truth, but God's word provides us with wisdom. Wisdom to know how to live in this fallen world and to live a life of worship for God's glory. And God's word reveals to us how to live a wise life. And the only way to live a wise life is to live it according to God's word and God's standard. If you neglect the word of God, you're casting aside wisdom for your life. The wisdom of and from God for your life. In the midst of this world and the enemies around, we are to seek the wisdom from above. And here the psalmist anticipates God's bountiful dealings from the word, verse 17. Deal bountifully with your slave, that I may live and keep your word. He anticipates God's bountiful dealings from the word, in spite of the fact that enemies want to destroy him, verse 23. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your slave muses on your statutes. While the psalmist's enemies took counsel against him, he took counsel and gained wisdom from the word of God. James says in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, doubting nothing. Proverbs 2, verse 6 says, for Yahweh gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and discernment. And how does God give us his wisdom generously? Because he has provided everything we need pertaining to life and godliness in his word. The scripture gives you wisdom, but it begins with your relationship to God. Knowing and believing who he is. Knowing and believing his word and his promises. Knowing and believing in his son, Jesus Christ, who according to 1 Corinthians 1:30 became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, and knowing and believing that you are to submit and live your life for him. 1 Corinthians 2:16, having the mind of Christ. In Psalm 119, verse 17, again, your slave, he says, the psalmist says, I'm your slave that I may live and keep your word. He submits his life to the word of God and to the God of the word. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, says, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 4, 7, the beginning of wisdom, acquire wisdom. So Proverbs 9, 10 says, the fear of the Yahweh is the beginning of the wisdom. Proverbs 4, 7, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, acquire understanding. So wisdom is important for us. It guides our path. It directs how we walk. Wisdom is truth acquired, truth accepted, and truth applied to everyday life for all circumstances. It is skillful living according to God's word and in light of who God is. Again, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. Thus, wisdom is living according to reality, understanding and responding to life in a God-honoring way. And this is the way of the blessed man. And God has given us the Psalms to form our hearts, which in turn lead us on the path of true blessedness. We have learned so far that if you neglect the word of God in your life, you're casting aside blessing. And last week, if you neglect the word of God, you're casting aside purity in your life. We saw that the psalmist's aim was holiness, sanctification, purity. He says that I may not sin against you, verse 11. Why would a holy God save sinners? The answer is that you might be pure, that you might be holy, that you might be righteous unto his glory. Purity must be sought after by actively, intentionally pursuing it, and that begins by permeating our minds with the truths of Scripture, because increased knowledge and intimacy with God results in increased knowledge and hatred of sin, and therefore an increased love for purity and holiness and righteousness and all that is right in God's eyes. This is indicated by the word keep pure in verse 9, which is one word in Hebrew, and it means to be morally clean, to keep free from immorality or sin, to be undefiled or untainted. And it's in the strong verb form, meaning that it expresses intensive action. And it's in the imperfect, meaning that this is to be ongoing. Ongoing, intensive action to keep pure, to keep free from immorality, to keep free from sin. This is to be your way of life, your path and pattern of conduct that is marked out by God's word through the power of the Holy Spirit. How can a young man keep his way pure? And we took note of 8 key ingredients needed to live a pure life. Keep or obey, treasure, adore, learn, proclaim, rejoice, meditate, and remember. And in this series, again, we're looking at 22 tragedies or dangers that result from neglecting God's word, or the flip side of that, 22 blessings or promises that come to those who commit and devote their lives to the word of God. And this week, if you neglect the word of God, you're casting aside wisdom from God for your life. Or you can look at the flip side. The psalmist teaching us the blessing or promise of wisdom that come to those who commit and devote their lives to the word of God. We'll take note of 5 aspects of our lives that demonstrate why we are to seek God's wisdom for our lives as we live in this world. Verses 17 and 19, we'll see dependence, our need. Dependence, our need. Verse 20, we'll see desire, our longing. Verse 21, destruction, our warning. Verses 22 and 23, deliverance, our reality. And verse 24, direction, our delight. First, we'll look at verses 17 through 19, our dependence, our need. Verses 17 again through 19, deal bountifully with your slave that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I'm a sojourner in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. The psalmist recognizes and identifies himself as God's slave, who is dependent upon God's grace. His perspective of life revolves around the understanding that this life is not about him. Rather, this life is about his dependence upon God for all things, including his very life, that I may live, he says, verse 17, as well as his obedience to God's word, that I may keep your word, again, verse 17, as well as his understanding of God's word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. He cannot understand unless God's Spirit grants him understanding. And he also says, do not hide your commandments from me, verse 19. As well as his understanding of being in this world, but not being of this world. He says, I'm a sojourner in the earth, verse 19. And so do you know who you are, believer? You are a slave of God. And you are completely dependent upon him for all things. For each breath as you sit there. For each movement of your body. Do you understand and recognize that? We sing the song, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And God's word and wisdom gives you a biblical worldview, one that is not centered around your life, but one that is centered around God's word and his will. So that you would know how to live in a way that is pleasing to him. How to live the wise life. And the psalmist here prays for grace. He recognizes that he's a slave of the Lord. That his life depends on the Lord. And that his obedience to his word is required. And yet even that depends on the grace of God. That I may live and keep your word. And Spurgeon has said regarding this, quote, this should be the rule, the object, and the joy of our life. We may not wish to live in sin, but we may pray to live and keep God's word. Being is a poor thing if it be not well-being. Life is only worth keeping while we can keep God's word. Indeed, there is no life in the highest sense apart from holiness. Close quote. Meaning being set apart for God, for his service, for his purposes. Why we were created. The psalmist is also dependent on God to understand his word. Verse 18, this should be our prayer every time we come to the word of God. He says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Law here referring to a body of instruction that provides guidance and direction. We are not to approach the word of God with an attitude of apathy, meaning indifference or a lack of interest or a lack of concern, but rather with an attitude of help and hunger. I need your help, Lord. I need you to grant me understanding. I want to know you more. I want to know your word. I want to behold wonderful things from your law that I may live for you. How do you approach God's word? The Bible says that believers need God's help to understand his word. 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. So that we may know the depths graciously given to us by God, of which depths we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual depths with spiritual words. Thus, the Spirit of God enlightens the minds of believers, so that they might comprehend, embrace, and obey the truths revealed in Scripture. This has been called illumination. God wants us to know and understand and obey His Word, and so He gives us the help that we need through His Holy Spirit. He gives us light on the meaning of Scripture, and this should greatly encourage us, because left to ourselves, we would not understand it, nor be able to live it out. Our primary dependence for learning Scripture needs to be on the author of Scripture, God Himself. And so we need to pray. We need to ask God to grant us wisdom, to open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from His law. Therefore, when it comes to reading and understanding Scripture and applying hermeneutics or principles of biblical interpretation, we are dependent upon God. And so is prayer part of that for you as you open up God's Word and seek to know Him? Do you pray before you open up God's Word? Do you pray as you read God's Word? Do you pray as you close God's Word? We can focus so much on studying Scripture and look at observation and interpretation and application. But the first step is prayer. pray. Immerse your study of Scripture, beginning, middle, and end with prayer. The psalmist is dependent on God for his life, for his obedience, for his understanding of Scripture. And verse 19, for his path throughout life. Not just for his life, that God would sustain him, not only just for his obedience, that he would honor God, not only for his understanding of Scripture, that he may know how to walk, but verse 19, for his path throughout life, how to navigate life in this world. He says, I'm a sojourner in the earth. A sojourner is a stranger or a foreigner or a temporary inhabitant. In other words, this is not our home, Christian. There's something much better awaiting you. This is not our home. Don't cling too tightly to the things of this world, but cling closest to Christ. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. Are you eagerly awaiting for him to return, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by his working, through which he is able even to subject all things to himself? If you hate that you struggle with sin, if you hate that there's sickness and disease, if you hate that you're not what you ought to be, then this needs to be your greatest hope. That you're longing for Christ to return. That he would transform your body and give you a resurrected, glorified body. Free from sin, free from sickness, free from disease. 1 Peter 1:4 also says that we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, having been kept in heaven for you. Only God can provide the things which this temporary world will never be able to provide. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our inheritance is reserved for us in heaven. And we are on the road to heaven if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a part of his eternal kingdom. So let us walk wisely and obediently. And he says, do not hide your commandments from me. In other words, do not conceal them from me. Do not keep them hidden, because he wants to be able to understand them and to obey them. He recognizes his need and the one who provides for his need. The word is the psalmist's guide in life. It's what he looks to and depends upon to navigate this world. Without it, he would be lost. He's a sojourner, and he needs wisdom from God's word to be a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. He's dependent, and he acknowledges and makes known his need to God, the source of divine wisdom. And so the first aspect of our lives that demonstrates why we are to seek God's wisdom for our lives is seen in the fact that we are dependent upon God for everything. Secondly, we'll see in verse 20, desire, our longing. Verse 20, my soul is crushed with longing for your judgments at all times. Here we see the psalmist's desire, his longing within his soul. His soul is who he is in his entirety as a living being. His inner self, which includes his intellect, his will, his emotion. He's crushed with longing for God's judgments at all times, he says. And judgments refers to all his laws, his ordinances, his moral standard of truth and righteousness that determines what is right and wrong. It characterizes the unchangeable decisions of the all-wise judge of all the earth. And to be crushed means to be worn down, to be broken into pieces by grinding, to be feeble. And longing means a yearning and desire for something. This means that in light of everything going on around him, the danger and threat of enemies seeking to destroy him, he has an awareness of God at all times, and the holy longing and zeal for his righteous judgments to take place. He's able to persevere and remain steadfast, though being worn down, because he has the right perspective and longing. He knows that God will take care of it. He knows that he can count on God. He knows that he can have confidence in God's judgments. He knows that it is looking to God and his word that will revive his soul. It's his desire, his longing, in the midst of living in this fallen world and the enemies that are seeking to destroy him. He leaves it to God. Vengeance belongs to him. And he therefore is able to persevere and continue on. The second aspect of our lives that demonstrate why we receive God's wisdom for our lives is seen in the fact that no matter what is going on, we can long for and desire and know that God's judgments will prevail. God's word and wisdom provides us with a proper desire and hope. The third aspect of our lives that demonstrate why we are to seek God's wisdom for our lives is seen in verse 21. Destruction, which is our warning. Verse 21, you rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. The psalmist is well aware of what happens to those who do not have a relationship with God and do not live to obey him, who have no fear of God before their eyes, Romans 3:18. In this context, he's speaking of his enemies, those who are arrogant or proud, which describes a wicked person characterized by being presumptuous. They think they know it all, yet they don't know anything at all. Not only are they arrogant, but they are cursed. This refers to someone who is laid under a curse and to have divine wrath invoked upon them. The psalmist knows that God rebukes or reproves the arrogant, the cursed, those who stray from his commandments, those who have no regard for his ways or his word. This is what happened in Genesis 3 with the fall. Adam and Eve's disobedience was arrogance. It was pride. They thought that they knew better than God. And the result was the curse. Proud people are cursed people. Pride lies at the root of all sin. Pride seeks to take the place of God, to make oneself a God in his place. John Calvin has said, all rebellion is the offspring of pride. And God has strong words concerning pride and the prideful. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way in the mouth of perverted words, he says, I hate. Proverbs 11, 2. When arrogance comes, then comes disgrace, but with the meek is wisdom. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to Yahweh. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Pride results in not obeying God's commandments and elevating yourself above God. That is why the arrogant, the cursed, will be punished. Their path is leading to destruction. So this is our warning. This is their warning. It doesn't have to be that way. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and God's word and wisdom lays out the path to blessedness, which is something that everybody seeks and longs for, to be happy, to be prosperous, to flourish. But only God's word and wisdom lays out the path to true blessedness, one that is lasting and eternal and provides lasting hope, comfort, and encouragement. God's word and wisdom not only reveals to us our utter dependence upon him, conforms our desires and longings to his righteous judgments, present and future, but it warns us of what will happen to those who stray from his commandments, all of which impact and influence how we are to live. And the fourth aspect of our lives that demonstrate why we are to seek God's wisdom for our lives is seen in verses 22 and 23. Deliverance, which is our reality. Deliverance, our reality. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your slave muses on your statutes. We live in a fallen world, and our reality is that we need God's protection and his deliverance. Wisdom calls us to observe his testimonies and to muse on his statutes in the midst of wickedness around us. Only God can deliver us from physical circumstances according to his will. And sometimes he chooses to, and sometimes he doesn't choose to. And only God can provide for us spiritual deliverance in regards to salvation, but also in regards to our sanctification, granting peace and comfort for our souls, and thus continuing to be able to withstand life's difficulties and trials, so that we persevere and continue to have hope. He says, take away reproach, which means to remove or to roll away disgrace, dishonor, taunting, reviling. And he also says to take away contempt, which refers to a lack of respect accompanied by a feeling of intense dislike, to despise. The psalmist is facing taunting and reviling, and he's being despised. In verse 23, princes sit and talk against him as well. And he calls on the Lord to vindicate him, to deliver him from it. He's not only facing opposition from those around him, but also from those in higher positions of authority, from the chief men, those who sat as judges. And 2 Timothy 3:12 reminds us, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, will be hated, will be opposed, will be reviled and taunted. This is our reality. And we are to look to God in His Word for protection and deliverance. The world may be against us, but if God is for us, who is against us? Notice that the psalmist fixes his greater focus on God's Word, to be reminded of who God is and not on escaping from his circumstances. That though the enemies come against him, that though the world be against him, that God will hold him fast. He says, for I observe your testimonies. To observe means to conform one's action or practice to keep watch over and to comply with. And he also says, your slave muses on your statutes. Statutes characterize the binding force and immovable nature of Scripture. He muses on that which is sure and certain and unchanging in the midst of uncertainty. Muse means to meditate, to ponder, to talk to oneself, to vocalize, and also has the idea of murmuring about something. When we muse or meditate on God's Word, we allow it to form us, to shape our minds and hearts. And in doing so, God's Word provides us with protection and deliverance and wisdom so that we suffer well, though we're still in those same circumstances. That is why James says we can count it all joy as we encounter various trials, because God is doing something with it. He's perfecting us. He's making us more like Christ. He's helping us to recognize that He is the sovereign one who's in control of all things, and He's allowing this to happen to strengthen us, and therefore to walk wisely and to respond well for His glory. The fifth aspect of our lives that demonstrates why we are to seek God's wisdom for our lives is verse 24, direction, which is our delight. Verse 24, your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors, the psalmist says. The Word of God provides delight and direction. Testimonies here refers to the divine witness of Scripture, and that is the object of the psalmist's delight, his pleasure, his satisfaction. And for us, do you delight in the Word of God? Do you delight in the Word of God? Or is it something that you think that you need to read to please God? Do you delight in it? Does it satisfy your soul? Does it give you great pleasure? Proverbs 8, verse 11 says, for wisdom is better than pearls, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. The psalmist also says here, the second line, they are my counselors. The word counselors refers to something that provides direction, gives advice, helps you make decisions. It directs your course of action. It carries the sense of wisdom. And this is in the context of hardship and hard times. The divine witness of Scripture, God's testimonies, are His counselors. They are His source of wisdom. Proverbs 13:10 says, with those who receive counsel, referring to biblical counsel or godly counsel, with those who receive counsel is wisdom. Spurgeon again said, let us give more heed to the true testimonies of the Lord than to the false witness of our foes. Let our attention be given to what is true, and let that direct and delight our way. when the world sits and talks against Christians and the Church of God, if you muse and meditate on his statutes and take delight in his testimonies, if they become your counselors, your source of direction and wisdom as to how you ought to walk in this life, you will be able to live wisely in a way that honors the Lord. And so the question for us is, do you need wisdom for your life? Do you need wisdom in your life? God declares that wisdom awaits you in his word. That is where you find God's wisdom. It's in his word. And therefore, if you neglect the word of God, you're casting aside the wisdom of God for your life. But if you commit and devote your life to the word of God, you will enjoy the blessing and promise of wisdom for your life. Proverbs 3 verse 13 says, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who obtains discernment." And it is in Christ, Colossians 2 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so what voices are you listening to? Where are you turning to find answers and direction and counsel? Look to God's word and pray in faith to God, who gives wisdom generously and without reproach. As Christians, we need to walk wisely, Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And we do that by walking and living according to the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. In other words, by God's word applied by God's Spirit. We're dependent upon God. He's the source of wisdom, and we must turn to him to seek it, to acquire it, to accept it, and to apply it to our lives. We need him. So we've seen five aspects of our lives that demonstrate why we are to seek God's wisdom for our lives. Dependence, our need, because we lack wisdom. We lack wisdom. Desire or longing, wisdom gives us the proper perspective and longing. Helps us to live in the present in light of the future. Destruction or warning, wisdom teaches that we must fear God. And we must teach others to fear God. Deliverance or reality, wisdom grants us protection and perseverance. Again, not just physical deliverance. He may grant that, he may not. But he promises to grant us spiritual deliverance when going through and in the midst of trials and suffering and difficult times, so that our souls would be revived and restored and refreshed according to his word and his truth. We are never without hope, without peace, without comfort, without encouragement. And so deliverance is our reality. If we would look to God and his word for wisdom. And lastly, we looked at direction, our delight. Wisdom helps us to live with direction, and therefore with great delight as we are doing the will of God. And again, if you neglect the word of God, you're casting aside wisdom. The psalmist here in Psalm 119 wants us to see the necessity and the importance of the word of God, not just to exalt it, but to obey it, to live it out. And in doing so, find great joy and delight as we meditate upon it, as we sing these truths in our hearts. Again, these are songs. The connection between meditation and song is important, which is why we sing songs, why we sing psalms, and why we are to sing psalms. And a shout out to John Finney for being one of the few music leaders who focuses on that. It's a biblical command for us to sing to one another, not just hymns, but psalms. And he sees the importance of that, and he's blessed this church with a number of psalms that he has taught you. Meditate on them as you sing them, and they will shape and form and grow your affections for the Lord. Next time we'll see the fourth stanza. If you neglect the word of God, you're casting aside strength, the strength which only God can provide. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it provides for us, what it grants to us, for those who are in your Son, who have the mind of Christ, who have been indwelt with your Spirit, that we may now understand your word as we look to you. Father, we pray for greater wisdom. We pray for greater faithfulness. We pray for forgiveness for those of us who stray from your commandments, who look to other means and ways to seek wisdom. Father, help us to walk the path of blessedness, which your word lays out for us so clearly. Help us to be encouraged by the fact that your word is sufficient and has everything that we need to live a life that is pleasing to you. We praise you and thank you that you preserved it, and that we have access to it. There's no one threatening to take these divine words away from us. And so help us to read it, to obey it, to meditate upon it so that they're engraved upon our hearts. Your word is eternal and lasting and will never fade away. Your word is living and active and powerful. And we pray that it would do its intended work in our lives this day and each day that we look into it. Help us to be those who would pray to you, that you would open our eyes each time we approach your word, that we would do so with reverence and respect. We would be those who would tremble at your word. Also help us to be those who are filled with joy and delight in keeping your word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.